Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafield's Fantasy Podcast.
Let's get cracking, okay? You ready? Because this is the Olafield's Fantasy Podcast, Jeffrey. Now, we were kind of starting to talk beforehand, but I didn't really let you finish because I just want you to dive right in. Give me a walkthrough of the view really quick. Give me a floor situation. Are we on the penthouse suite? Of the work, or are we on second floor view level here? Give me just said no one walks by.
We are in the fifth floor. We are looking out on a nice courtyard Marriott, and in the background there are the only space in Irvine that has not been developed by homes yet. So that little open preserve, so a little bit of nature here in Orange County on this. What will be a sunny but chilly day here in January?
Oh, what's chilly? Give me this forecast.
Well, whew, got in my car. It was 52. So I mean, all hell is breaking loose out here.
I believe our
Canada geese are flying in a flying geese formation.
Get the Canada goose out. It's something, of course, brought to you that the unofficial sponsor of the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast, Canada Goose. This is Will. We got Jeff in chilly Southern California over there. Not a ton of football content, but nevertheless, content in general. And when you started writing the rundown, I looked at it and I was like, ha, I watched one of those things as well. Of course, not two of those things that you've listed, but I have heard of those.
Okay.
Jeff, let's just dive right in. You're already starting about The Witcher. We had some great content from Greg, the executive producer of the pod, asking if we've heard of this thing that's out and about, and apparently there's a video game series about it. Tell me about The Witcher here, Jeff.
Yeah, so I believe it was a book and then a video game, and now it's a Netflix show. I was very intrigued. I think I saw an article like soon after it was released. It was like, oh, this is the highest rated Netflix series ever. It was sitting at 99 or 97% for at least a month and a half. And so I was like, okay, I'll check it out. You know, I was always intrigued by the game, never pulled the trigger. It follows, you know, this Witcher who I guess is kind of like, he's a monster hunter, not fully human, but not necessarily like too werewolfy. Like he has some special abilities, but he's mostly just a bro. The Rotten Tomato score has dipped a little bit, 93, and I think I would even probably drop it a little lower than that, even myself being, you know, a fan of fantasy and action and adventure, which is the genre that it falls in. There are a couple things about it that are really good. Like, it is some of the best choreographed action sequence I've seen in a very long time. Like they're very intense, but they're not like overly like unrealistic where it's like, okay, a third dude would just come up and just poke you in the back and be done. Like in real life, this would never happen kind of a thing. Like they're pretty realistic. And also pretty brutal in my estimation. The things were, you know, and it was also pretty good. Like, you know, there's a lot of in our culture, a lot of wizard praise. I'd say a lot of Harry Potter, you know, Gandalf the Grey, Gandalf the White, those guys are up on the pedestal. The Witcher pays tribute to mage culture. So the oft overlooked mages, a lot of mage battles, a lot of, you know, looking into mage culture and the different things that go into being a mage. So I guess shout out to them for that. The problem I have is the guy is touted as a monster hunter. And I mean, the first scene is obviously him killing a monster. He only really kills one other monster in an 8-episode series that are an hour long. It's mostly just dealing with, you know, people, which some would say they can be monsters too. But it's kind of all like, I think I liked how it was like the organization is kind of all over the place. Like it's jumping forward, it's jumping back, and you really kind of have to like pay attention. And I even had to hit Wikipedia, and I was like, okay, give me just like a chronology of how these episodes are laid out, because, you know, there's the present, but then they're jumping into the past to see how he got there. But it's the same characters and they look the same. So you don't know if it's, is this happening after the previous episode or before? And then obviously the names are extremely hard to pronounce and crazy. So you're like, it's kind of hard to keep track of everyone. But overall, if you're kind of into that Game of Thrones, if you're into the, you know, Lord of the Rings kind of thing, I would give it a little taste, a little smell. It does take a little bit to get into. First couple episodes, I would say,
as
they are a little slow, but once you get the setup, then it gets going a little bit.
As one of my chefs says, I'm smelling what you're stepping in. But I don't, kind of lost me for a little bit. So I'm just going to briefly take your word, and Tommy Bill, of course, has also sent me numerous videos of this show, and like how there's this guy who just sings along him and like his own personal theme song.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird. But yes.
Again, another piece where this guy's like right next to him in all these brutal battles and never like gets a finger laid on him other than like one time.
Oh, well, just spoiler on that one time,
like, dude. That guy would be absolute cut.
But yes, there's three games. There's like a series of novels. It was like the best game of 2017 or something, maybe 2016, maybe 2015. I don't remember how long ago that game came out. So I just love the knowledge Greg spit at us, like, hey, the game's actually pretty cool. It's like, yeah, it came out literally 5 years ago. Thank you, Greg. Game of the year. Hopefully we'll check it out. There's just too much to watch right now. And when I do want to start watching, I just get bored and I fall asleep. Just because of work. I did watch something, Jeff, although I haven't watched, I guess there's multiple episodes. I watched the first episode of the Jeopardy tournament. I mean, the Tournament of Champions.
Tournament of GOAT.
Hour long. Split. The rules were kind of, not being a Jeopardy aficionado, I know how the game works. But when it came to this Tournament of Champions, or whatever, greatest of all time, Trebek could have done a little bit better. I think he was like, because it's not dollars, it's points. And there's two games and a match, but there's the first to win two matches. And the points don't carry over, but they kind of do. Like, it's kind of, it's weird how I thought the kicker would have been in Final Jeopardy, you could wager all your points. I thought that would have been kind of cool, but no, it's still just like two different games. So
yeah,
I was kind of confused on that, but I was watching it and I was having a couple gigs because that Holzhauer guy is such a troll. He's hilarious. I didn't realize the Ken Jennings thing happened 16 years ago.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I thought I could have sworn maybe 10 years ago it happened. Like, oh my god, that makes me feel so old. Like, that we were in high school when that thing happened. That's insane.
Oh, totally.
What are your thoughts on it though?
No, I mean, to your point, he's just like a wild card. Like, he'll, before he answers, he'll just troll the other contestants or like just throw out barbs. So that's always great. I mean, all these guys are on the spectrum, so having to watch them like make jokes and like try to be funny and give their little witty repartee or whatever back and forth. It's just like, okay, guys, let's answer some questions. I will say the questions and the categories are pretty redonk, and these guys are just burning through these things. The first, to your point, the first episode, the first Jeopardy round, they didn't get one wrong.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. And they just burned through it. And I mean, normally I would say I'm at least like familiar. Like, I can be in the ballpark 50% of the time, but on these ones, I think I got two the whole night. Yeah. And I was like, dang, this is some deep pulls.
So I haven't watched the second episode, but the first episode, that Brad Rutter guy just, I mean, talk about a dude who just goes all in with the chips on his daily doubles and misses them every time. Like, he literally missed them every time. And it's also funny watching them play because it's like they know how to find the daily double.
Because
they always start with, you know, something for 1,600 or something for 800 instead of just going down, you know, up and down. But I actually had, you know, I had quite a gig watching.
You could see them, like, because Holzhauer kind of, like, broke the model, right, of, like, how you play Jeopardy.
Yeah.
With his, like, big all-ins. And you could see Ken Jennings. He was, like, straining.
He was so
I have to adopt this strategy, but it hurts me so much. And it's so much money to put down.
I'm pulling out my hair doing it. Yeah. It's just crazy when you watch the backstories, too. Like, how Ken has won $3.5 million. Like,
Or he just hangs out on a lake with his dog and writes all day.
I'm a writer now. I'm a writer. And that's all I do. I write because I have $3.5 million thanks to
Jeopardy. Well, and I go in my basement and play Jeopardy by myself.
Dude, I know that. Questions. With my own little buzzer. Hey, I mean, whatever. I mean, if you can make a career out of it, go by you. All right, which of these do you want to go on next? Because you wrote, well, I've heard of one of them. The other one, of course, is a good one.
So you made an interesting comment, Will. You said, you know, you find it hard to get into these shows because you're exhausted. It's late at night. You're probably laying on the couch. Gucci's on his blanket. He's snoring. Mm-hmm. Don't F with cats.
Yeah.
This, I don't know what you've heard about it, but it is pretty intense. It's I don't want to spoil too much, but it's obviously a search for this gentleman who posts these videos online of him herding cats, and a group of kind of unknown people online that kind of band together, form this Facebook group to actually try and find out who this person is and bring them to justice. And it just gets crazier and crazier from there. It is a true story. It's a documentary. After the first episode, I mean, I was completely exhausted. But I was like, my heart is pounding. I got to watch the second episode, and it did not disappoint. It's only 3 episodes, hour long each, so I mean, easy to knock out.
We have heard from one of Ashley's friends, just told us about this the other day. She definitely described it in more detail than you did. Definitely got in there with what it was about. So Ashley and I, that is kind of a show Ashley likes, so we might have to dive deep into that. It's just such a strange name for a show too, or a documentary.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I would say that I was a little worried, like, as it was going. I obviously don't want to watch what your friend probably described happened to these poor little cats, but they don't get too graphic. Like, they do a good enough job to where you know what happens without actually having to, like, witness it. So,
Jeff, we need to get into some stuff that you've been witnessing here. We're just going to move on to the NFL because we're already 15 minutes in. Although the deadline has passed, and in 1 week, it is time for Vegas. All right. How I just gonna I'm not gonna run through all these. I'm gonna go one right now. Mike McCarthy, your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. I mean, and how here about we go. Those pictures? Jason Garrett 2.0. Oh my god,
those press conferences, pictures. I think Mike McCarthy gained 80 pounds, and he's not a small dude.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was a big. I loved the meme where it was the Tommy boy kind of picture of Chris Farley, and then there was McCarthy and Jarrah. So, yeah, I don't know. I thought you would lose weight not being stressed out every day working 14 hours. But, you know, I guess, you know, more power to you. You're getting your new methods. I mean, come on. I mean, the guy is Jason Garrett 2.0 in my mind. He's a fine coach. You know, maybe he has retooled his offensive mind and scheme, which, you know, that many people have said got stale towards the end of his run. But the thing that I think most Cowboys fans got upset at Jason Garrett is just like the little game management mistakes that he would make. And McCarthy, I think most people would say, is the king of those. So it's not going to be great from that perspective. And I guess it was funny on around the NFL. They were talking about, oh, but he hired this team. He went out on his own and hired a team of 6 analytics experts, numbers guys to help him out. So I guess he won't make these mistakes in the future. And I was just like, oh, here we go again. Like, he's definitely not a Belichick in that he gets more than his roster's talent would suggest.
It's what you just said about the management and everything. Jason Garrett was the king. Well, I guess not. Maybe the jack of not going for it on 4th and 1, kicking a field goal instead of going for it on 4th down, or punting instead of trying to win the game. I mean, I just rewatched for research, of course. I rewatched the Packers Seahawks NFC Championship from 2014, I think. The one where the Packers were up 16-0 in the middle of the third quarter and lost that game because they punted. They couldn't score from the 1 yard line, the half inch line. They never went for it to kind of go for the jugular. They had the ball, you know, with 4 minutes left and ran it 3 times, gave the ball back to the Seahawks. Is just a terrible, It's the way to give the game away, which is funny too, because that's how the Bills lost it. I mean, the Bills were up to the Texans 16-0 as well, which, yep. You know, kind of similar story there. Yeah, I mean, it's just what you just said. It's that they just hired, they graduated from Jason Garrett to Mike McCarthy. Same kind of principles and all that. And even Greg said this on that podcast as well, that the first 5 years, though, for McCarthy and the Packers were, like, outstanding. So yeah. Maybe it's just, you know, the change of scenery, change of players, that'll help. But the act will wear thin. And if Jerry does the same thing with Jason Garrett as it is with Mike McCarthy, where it's, well, we'll hold on to him for 12 years and maybe he'll eventually get it right.
Yeah.
You know, that might be cause for concern if that happens. This.
My favorite quote, though, Will. I can't remember what the overall context of the article it was in, though. It was just a line that said, whenever a man sleeps over at Jerry's house, he always gets his guy.
I mean, he slept over there before they fired Jason Garrett, right? Like, isn't that like the thing? Oh my god.
Well, I mean, yeah, okay, I guess he wasn't under contract anymore, and I guess it was just, they hadn't written their 5-paragraph diatribe of, woe is me, we loved you, but we have to let you go.
Always gets his guy. So Ron Rivera goes to Skins. That's fine. That just whatever. All right. Another two, though. I mean, this is – so I don't know if you've done all the digging, and maybe you heard the stories on the podcast that we listen to, or just, you know, articles that get posted. But this Giants and Panthers thing is hilarious to me. The Panthers get Matt Rhule from Baylor, and they pay him a crap ton of money, very similar to John Gruden. The Panthers get their guy. Everyone always gets their guy. And then 5 minutes later, the tweets start coming saying, and the Giants have hired special teams wide receivers coach from the Patriots, Joe Judge. And I remember when I saw that, I even retweeted and said, I thought this was a troll account. Like, I thought this was Adam Schurter, not Adam Schefter. Yeah. Like, what is happening? Like, this can't be real. And the stories are, you know, oh, Rhule was going to go to the Giants possibly, but he wanted more money. And they said, no, it's okay. We got our guy instead. And then all of a sudden it's click, they hang up, and they hire Joe Judge. I mean, you obviously have no idea who this guy is. I don't know who this guy is. There's no way this is – it's a Dave Gettleman. I think this was ATN. It might have been Lebatard, though, where it was like, it's such a – no, it is. It's such a Dave Gettleman hire, right? Like, he checks all the boxes. He A for effort, like you can't coach that. Like, that's a Joe Judge guy. I mean,
yeah.
Oh boy. I don't know. It's just funny, right? I mean, it's hilarious to me that this would happen. And I'd much rather be like the Browns, who kinda can just take their time now at this point, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. You wanna just, they can take their time, get their pick of the litter. I guess whoever is left, but Joe Judge, if nothing, will provide many good headlines for the New York media. I mean, the judge is in, court's in session, lock him up. I mean, everything's going to be thrown out there.
The people's court
is, but I guess, you know, he's a real CEO type, you know, he's not going to be calling the plays. He's just going to be, you know, he's a real players coach. He's going to be getting out there, disciplinarian, but yeah. Still loves his players, yeah.
Oh, and Belichick loved him. You know, Belichick knew from day one that Joe Judge was going to be a coach in this league. And it's just like, well, no one else knew that. Like, and then, let's just get to this, these insiders and all this. Because then all the, you know, then it's like Rap Sheet and Schefter always come out. Oh, I've always heard that he's been a name to watch out for. It's like, no, if he has, you would have said that. You would have said that a week ago. But instead, it comes out of nowhere, then you just have to kind of say, you know, in circles, I've heard he is kind of coveted, and the Patriots knew they had to do what they could to keep him. Like, oh my god, you're just full of crap right now. Like, I could write that, and, you know, no one would believe me, but because you have a BlackBerry still, like, people still think that you know everything. I mean, come on. Get back.
I mean, there's at least 2 or 3 articles for each publication at multiple times in the season and after the season, who are the top potential coaching hires. Mm-hmm. This guy's name maybe would be in the others receiving consideration category.
There's no way.
Like in 12-point font at the very bottom. Like, no one's writing paragraphs about this guy.
There's no way that is others receiving votes. All right. So the Browns still looking for their guy. We'll see what happens. I'm sure they'll pick the worst person humanly possible. So
well, Marvin Lewis is an idiot.
I never looked at these lines for the divisional round this season or for this upcoming weekend. And these are all kind of shocking to me. We don't have to go game by game. We can kind of pick if we want. But which one of these kind of stands out to you as maybe – because I knew it. I knew last week there was going to be one game that everybody got wrong. Unfortunately, I picked the wrong one, but it was Saints-Vikings. The biggest spread of the week, the surefire lock, was, of course, the one that everyone got wrong, and the Saints didn't even show up, except for Taysom Hill. Which of these do you think has a potential to be that game? Let's start with that.
I guess Texans at Chiefs.
Ooh.
I think, you know, the Texans, they have the ceiling, and I believe they beat the Chiefs already this season. I don't think they'll win, but I don't think they're going to get, like, beat by 10 or more. I think it's going to be, you know, Deshaun Watson will put the team on his back again and do what he has to do to make it competitive. I think it'll be a competitive game. I think the Chiefs' defense, while improved, isn't necessarily a world beater. So I think that one's just a little off to me. People are just loving the Seahawks. I think they're just banged up, and if Russell Wilson can't do enough, I almost think them essentially being, you know, on a neutral field, 1-point dogs to the Packers. Mm-hmm. They're of course -4 at Green Bay. I don't know. I just feel like I don't trust them. I'm not on Seahawks corner. Who are they handing the ball off to? I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers. I feel like the Packers could. Well, I don't think, again, the Packers are world beaters. Yeah. I think that they can definitely beat them by more than a field goal.
I like the Texans pick. I think Fuller's going to play, which everyone knows changes that offense. Fuller had three touchdowns when they played the Chiefs this season.
Always weird, Will, when you see – sorry to interrupt. You see these guys in their fantasy pictures, and that's like kind of what I imagine they look like. And Will Fuller has like some gnarly hair in his fantasy picture. And then you see him and he's like, oh, I guess that's not too crazy of hair. And he looks like a fine, upstanding gentleman. He actually looks like – on this fantasy picture, he kind of looks – skinny, I'd say, like thin, but then you look at him, he's like a piece of pretty built dude.
Well, I mean, so. I think Robbie Anderson is the most hilarious fantasy picture.
Oh, yes.
Like straight Coolio.
Oh, yeah.
It's done, you know, when they have their helmets on, they definitely don't look like that.
Quick aside on that, in my work fantasy draft, there were a couple people that I would say were even below, you know, Ashley and Laura and Shay's understanding of football and football players. And so they said, they're like, oh, I could pick by mascot or pick by color. I was like, no, go by hair and pick Robbie Anderson because that guy's got the greatest hair of all time.
He's got the goods.
I think they also picked Melvin Gordon because he's got a nice updo. And
he does. Especially in the pictures. Oh, I mean, and in real life, too. I think I'm going to go with –
it's hard to maintain.
I'm going to go with the Titans, much. Jeff.
Okay.
I'm in on Titans corner.
Wow.
It's supposedly snowing, or at least, you know, not, you know, good weather. At least that's what the reports were yesterday. I mean, it could be fine by this weekend. Quick little Google search will show that. But I think, you know, if there's a team that can kind of think about the Bills, when the Bills played the Ravens, they only held them, I think they held them to 20 points. They lost by a field goal or maybe a touchdown, but it was a really close game. 24-17, I think. And I think those teams are very similar, the Bills and the Titans. Granted, you got a better workhorse running back in Derrick Henry with the Titans and an upgraded offense, but very similar play styles. I think that the Titans can do the same thing to the Ravens that the Bills did. I think 10 points is a lot for a team that just pretty much beat the Patriots, like, handily. Their Titans offense obviously didn't do anything. But the Patriots had the number one defense in the league, number two defense in the league. And Henry still had over 160 yards or whatever it was. So I think if Tannehill can throw more than 70 yards, they have a chance. I think the 10 points is a lot, 9.5 points. And I wrote underneath how last week all four games went under. I don't remember if the Saints game actually ended up hitting the under, but I think it did, even with the overtime. I think that still hit the under. So I don't know if that's going to happen again this week. We got a lot of bad weather places with Kansas City, Green Bay, and Baltimore. So if these games are low scoring, I mean, a 10-point spread is just huge. If the total points are going to be 24, you're expecting a game to be 20 to 6, which would be, you know, I wouldn't really see that. And can Lamar do it in the playoffs? You know, so I think I like the Titans to at least cover, and I'm rooting for them, man. You know, I think ultimately I'm rooting for either the Texans or the Chiefs to kind of just make it to the Super Bowl. I'm kind of over the Ravens. You know, I'm just not a fan. But I mean, look at me on Titans corner over here. I mean, who would have thought, even just last season? And we know how much you love Derrick Henry. Just a year too early on that pick.
Aren't they like very similar teams, like offensively?
Yeah.
Like they just pound the run and then huge chunk plays through the air.
Although the Baltimore defense is considerably better than the Tennessee defense. But yeah, I think that's why I do.
One of my favorite names, Bayard, on the old Titans.
Kenneth Bayard, I believe. Jairus Bird. Yeah. What a throwback that is. I'm trying to find the weather for Baltimore, by the way, and it's just not popping up on the old weather app over here, but it's okay. But the spreads are, you know, 49ers are by 7, Ravens, Chiefs 9.5, Packers 4. And again, if I think there's going to be one, it's going to be Titans. I think the Vikings are going to come back to earth. I guess Adam Thielen just got a cut on his leg. I don't know what happened there. I just was looking it up.
You had a real emo night.
Yeah. So, okay. Take it easy. Should be fun. If I had, you know, I'm going to lock up one of these. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lock up one. Actually, way harder than now that I just said it out loud. It's way hard. I'm going to lock up the Chiefs.
That's the Locking up the Chiefs. Yeah. Lock it up. Right. I'm going to lock up the 49ers.
Ooh. It's all because I told you that Adam Thielen one. That's why.
Yeah, it changed. I mean, if Adam Thielen's out, I mean, obviously.
Not a lot for the DFS stuff. I just said it's going to be hard. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, there's that. what do you want to touch on next? Because we are getting close to the hard out, but you pick one of the next things.
Playoff challenge. All right, playoff challenge.
Because I don't even know who you –
Not a great week.
Looking at yours right now. All right, I had three Saints. I actually thought I had four. But I had only three. I had Breeze, Michael Thomas, and Will Lutz. Again, I thought I was very confident in them winning, and so was a lot of people. So this playoff challenge, you get double, triple, quadruple the points the longer you have players on your team. And because the Saints lost, well, then I have to repick these players. I did have Derrick Henry, though. I was confident that he would have a great game and possibly they would beat the Patriots. And lo and behold, I will be getting double points from Derrick Henry this week. And the other three or four slots I had were reserved for Chiefs or Mark Ingram. So Mark Ingram and Derrick Henry going to get me double points this week. I'm kind of excited about that. And before you get to yours, I just said, I looked at who was in first, and I don't know if he knew the rules of the game or maybe he just was doing his own thing, but he started everyone from Wild Card Weekend. So Titans, Patriots, Seahawks. I mean, he went all – or Eagles as well, so he's going to have a lot of retooling to do for his lineup. So that is kind of why he's in first. I'll be interested to see where this person ends up, though, because that's kind of a strategy I never thought about doing, just getting as many points as possible each and every week.
Yeah, I don't think that's the right strategy.
We'll find out.
But, yeah, I mean, if all of his players keep going, then, I mean, that's one way to do it, I guess.
Well, give me your
strategy. Currently picking
my
lineup. Well, I mean, the strategy was, and I think we detailed this last year, it's in the first round, you pick players from teams that you think are going to be in the Super Bowl. So you're essentially picking the Super Bowl, and you obviously want to lean a bit heavier to the team that you think is going to win the Super Bowl and score a lot of points along the way. So obviously, we both thought the Saints were going to go far, and you also mentioned that you had some Chiefs, as did I, so I thought it was going to be the Saints and the Chiefs in the finals. So you want to try and ideally you want to get to that third round and be at a fat bonus on, you know, players that you had starting in round one. And so even if they do get 5 points, they're scoring 15 points for you. So, that's kind of my strategy. I don't know, Will. Obviously, it didn't work out this. It didn't work out this year, but hey, no money has been paid yet, so who knows?
Wow. I actually just thought about it. I'm in a really good spot though with that Derrick Henry Mark Ingram matchup. So one of those dudes is going to be getting me three times next week.
Yeah. So that's true.
Both getting me double this week. I think that's a really good spot. Hopefully they both kind of go off. That would be fantastic. But 57 people, I think, or I don't know if it was 56, 57. First place gets 750. I mean,
ooh,
yeah, it's real. I don't know if you see, but it's in the comments. Good old Mike Ansel just, you know, really doing a good job. It was so funny. So I paid him right away. He paid me back. He said, I'll accept payment later. Then the next day, he's like, all right, I'll take $20. Like, he literally sent me a message, all right, accepting payment now. I'm like, I just literally gave it to you yesterday. It's so stupid.
He's got to, like, make sure his bookie is.
I mean, his thing is even called Venmo Me. That's what his group is called. Okay, so it's 55 people. So,
how am I in 13th? I guess.
I'm in 11th.
I know. I'm looking right now.
Soyce's boys.
But we are far off the leader.
Well, no. But I already told you, the first person did. They picked everyone. The second person had four Saints and an Eagle. So there you go. But he also had Henry. Or she. Don't discriminate. I'm excited for the playoff challenge. And this weekend is going to be super exciting. There's also the national championship on Monday. But really, you know. Who really cares about that? I mean, it's just boring as hell.
No.
Can't wait for this weekend. Yep. Best NFL weekend during the season, for sure. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Just last question for you. Who are you rooting for out of the last eight teams?
Who am I rooting for?
So I said Chiefs or Texans is kind of like who I'm going for the rest of the way. So like the winner of that matchup, obviously.
Okay. I mean,
the new intense Final Jeopardy. Yeah,
I did. I wasn't a fan of that.
Oh.
But I don't know. I guess, you know, I like kind of the Titans from a story perspective. I do like the Chiefs from an Andy Reid perspective. As a Cowboys fan, it's blasphemous, but I like the 49ers. They kind of, you know, they're kind of that Cinderella story that came out of nowhere. Yeah. I think they've overperformed, and I think they're a fun team to watch.
49ers Chiefs would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good, although we've seen offense versus defense in Super Bowls before and hasn't really been that amazing, but I think that'd be a fun one to watch. Kyle Shanahan in the Super Bowl would be. Get pretty cool. Get it. Was he on that Falcons team? I think he was.
I think he was.
Yeah, I think he was the offensive coordinator. So get his revenge. Jeffrey, thank you for making this happen from the penthouse in the T-Bell Studios. Get that Reaper Ranch taco, everybody.
You try it yet?
Oh, hell yeah, I did. It was delicious.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Oh, my God.
You can't beat that, dude.
Give me that sauce all day. Dollar, man. Give me those sensual commercials all day and night. Thanks for listening to the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast. Happy holidays, and now I'm 32 years old. I'm old. Peace.
Peace.